Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to Unruly. I'm your host, Sheila Marie. I'm an author, a fierce advocate for Black women, and the founder of the Curvy Curly Conscious Movement. In this space, I'm sharing what I've learned on my own journey while sitting down with some amazing women who are all navigating their own paths to healing. Because there's no better time than now to get a little unruly. Welcome back to Unruly. Bae, it's 2025. How are you doing? I'm happy that everybody is in the swing of things. This year is going to be a great year, but undoubtedly is going to be filled with a lot of change. Today's episode is all about change, embracing it, thriving through it, and letting it shape us into stronger, more unruly versions of ourselves. Yes, please give me 14 of them. To help dive into this topic, we're joined by the incredible Simone Mariposa. Simone is a body liberation activist, a content creator, and a birth doula. Yeah, period. Wake that up. Yeah. She first shook things up with her hashtag We Wear What We Want movement, empowering plus-size individuals to unapologetically embrace their bodies and break free from society's expectations, period. From uplifting others on socials to supporting birthing individuals as a doula, Simone shows us how transitions can be a pathway to deeper self-love and empowerment. And I just want to get right into it. Welcome to the stage, Simone.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for having me. It is such an honor to share space with you on this amazing podcast. So grateful.
I'm so grateful, too. I want to start by, you know, I had asked you before how to pronounce your last name, because it's, I was like, is it Simone Mariposa or is it Simone Mariposa?
Simone Mariposa.
Oh,
yes,
my
ma'am.
Goodness. Where are you from? Are you Latina?
So I am West Indian. I'm Guyanese and Black American. However, I've always had a deep appreciation for Latinx culture. I learned Spanish at a young age. My dad spoke Spanish with me, and I've done my best to like integrate parts of Latinx culture into like what I do and what I talk about, just because, especially the Afro-Latinx experience.
Period.
As well. So that's like right up my alley.
I love that. I saw an interview you did, and I was like, okay, this is like a Latin channel. I thought maybe somewhere. My family is Cuban, but they're not Afro-Cuban, but they are Cuban. So I was like, oh, we got a little link up.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes, ma'am.
So, okay, let's start by doing a little icebreaker. I want to ask you like two fun questions up front.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Okay. So what is the biggest life change you've been through? And if it were a movie genre, what genre would it be? And I'll give you an example. For me, a big life change, it has been my fertility journey. And it's definitely given psychological thriller. It's definitely given, in the middle of the night, doors slamming. Did I see that? Did I not? Is it there? Jump scare? All that. So yeah, psychological thriller.
Mm-hmm. In the middle of the night is crazy. I could definitely see that. You're thinking like, oh, is it time? Yeah, that's
a
lot.
Exactly.
That's a lot. That's a lot. Yeah.
Ludo phase. Yeah.
Right. The Ludo phase, for sure. I would say for me, one of the biggest recent transitions has been my move to Atlanta. I moved here in 2022. And I would consider that, a dramedy. Simply because I've made so many friends, I've built a community, there's been lots of laughter and fun, but I've also cried at least once a week or every 2 days since I moved here. And it's also been like a spiritual journey. It's been an evolution. Yeah, there's a moral to the story. And I'm still on it. So the movie's actually, we're still in production, actually, as we speak.
Okay, period.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a budget, honey. The movie is filming.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? I hear that a lot, especially with Black women, that when they move to Atlanta, there's also this intense spiritual transformation, too.
Yeah, especially for a city that is by Black people for Black people.
Mm-hmm.
When I moved here, because like I said, I don't know if I mentioned, but I'm from LA and like I'm from the hood essentially. So like, you know, I've been around Black people my entire life, but it was always a specific like microcosm. But to go into a city where they're everywhere, there's all different types of us.
Me too.
Different niches and everything. It's like, wow. It was life changing.
It definitely is. I still, to this day, I'm like, wow.
Yeah. So many different shapes and colors and types of Black people. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's a vibe. It's a vibe.
It is. Whatever you're into, you can find other people that are into that here.
Absolutely.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
So a second icebreaker question is, you know, you're known for breaking boundaries in fashion. You're very open-minded. And so, like, where does your open-mindedness stop? Like, in terms of fashion, what is one trend that you've seen recently that you're like, absolutely not? Like, I am open-minded, but not that damn open-minded. I'll give you an example. For me, is those damn red Megamind boots.
Thumbs down.
Okay.
Thumbs down.
I don't know. I think they're designer. I don't care. They look like the tunnels that Mario and Luigi used to go in and out of, and I'm not fucking doing it.
Not feeling it. Absolutely not. I 150% agree. Those boots, like, I'm not a trendy person. I think that's like one of the things that I pride myself with when it comes to fashion is like, I'm a trendsetter and a rule breaker. So there's a lot of things that people do that I'm like not feeling. I would say a trend that I don't like, you know, I'm here for like experimenting with clothes, but clothes that are shapeless, I'm not a fan of.
Mm-hmm.
I like the like silhouette and the symmetry and the way that clothes like cloak over our body types, regardless of what our body types are. But I'm here for accentuating the body, you know? And so when I see kind of like the more, shapeless trend, I'm like, like frocks and things like that. Like, not feeling that for me.
You know what? I will never wear a shapeless garment for my body. It does not compliment me at all. But my friend Tasha, she be showing up. It'll be like a burlap sack, but somehow it looks like a very cute dress on her.
Yeah.
Like,
I think
she just does it.
That's a good point. I think especially if you're like curvy, because we know you got the curves. Okay.
Yes.
That's you.
And we know you got the curves, period. Sister.
Thank you. Curves see curves. You know what I'm saying? But I do think like it's beautiful to show that. And I think there can be this emphasis on like, you know, not wanting to hypersexualize yourself. And unfortunately, when you have a curvy body, you're automatically seen as hypersexualized when you accentuate it. But it's more so about showing the shape. And we have beautiful shapes. So why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Love that. So let's talk a little bit about change. Okay, let's get right into it. So you've spoken about the power of self-awareness as it relates to navigating challenges. Can you share like a pivotal moment in your life where like owning your sense of self helped you get through that change?
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here. And you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I would say probably in the, like when my content creator journey was starting to elevate and rise, I would say that there was this desire to kind of attempt to fit into a box. And so I would feel like I had to be confined to that. But when I recognized like, okay, is this me truly living in who I am? And when that wasn't in alignment, it was like, fuck it. We're going to be outside and we're going to be talking about wearing what we want, showing our skin, being free. not being afraid in certain arenas to be authentic to who, you know, we are. And so I would say it was more so about realizing if I'm in alignment, if it feels true to who I am. And yeah. If it's not, then maybe it's time to pivot to what does feel like me.
I love that. I always let the feelings guide us, the feelings in our body.
Yes.
They show up. You don't know why, but it's like you should still trust that.
Yeah. I think like in another thing that has been a guide for me, like when you mentioned feelings, is that intuition, you know? And a lot of us, we don't like sit in stillness to recognize what our intuition is telling us. And so we're quick to make a decision and quick to, you know, make things happen because it's on our list instead of like pausing to be like, okay, what is my gut saying?
Yeah, as I'm an Aries, and so we can be very impulsive. And so one of my life's lessons has been deciphering the difference between fears or self-limiting beliefs and intuition. Like,
yes.
is what I'm hearing, is that really the truth? Like, hold on, is this an old fear? Is this an old belief?
That's good. And then you mentioned you being an Aries. I'm very much into astrology. So when you said that, and it's funny, before this, I was wondering, I was like, what is her sign? So the fact that you said that, thank you. Thank you, Spirit.
Aries, Capricorn, Gemini.
Ooh, Capricorn moon.
Yep.
Love it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there is that level of practicality, which makes you like second guess and think like, okay, what is this that I'm feeling? But also there's power in that like ability to like go for it as well with that Aries energy too. Like y'all are the babies of the zodiac.
We are.
Yeah.
We're the babies. We throw a fit. Rah!
Exactly.
So you talked about the, sadly, no, I love us. I don't care. I love you, Aries. Hi, Aries. Mwah. We're the best and we know it. Don't tell anybody else. So your journey, you were talking about discomfort, right? You're like, okay, as I'm growing into content creation, I'm growing. And a lot of people will say that they want growth, right? These are the things we'll put on our vision boards. This is the things we'll say that I want to grow. I want to be this. I want successful. I want this amount of money. But there's not often enough talk about the discomfort that can come along with growth. How have you embraced the discomfort of change while staying connected to who you are?
I think it's about literally going with the flow and stop trying to fight it. Because if you're a naturally stubborn in a lot of ways, like I know for me, I can be very stubborn. And so my life will be going a certain way, but I'll be like, but I want it to go this way. So I'm forcing it. But I think the magic is in being flexible and really allowing yourself to flow and recognize, okay, if my life is taking a different direction, let's see where that direction takes me. Because I know I have goals for myself and visions, like we all do, but we have a stern idea of how we think we're supposed to get to those goals and to accomplish those things. But, you know, the universe, God, however you believe it, whatever you believe in, may be guiding you on this path for a reason.
And how do you know when you should be flexible? How do you know when it's time to be flexible and when it's time to be firm?
That's a really good question.
Right? I feel like that's something I've been working through my whole life, getting better and better, but...
Yeah, I think it is about kind of what you said, like really sitting with your feelings. I think when you have a good relationship with your sense of self, which is kind of like what we're talking about, we're able to learn the signals in our bodies and in our minds and in our hearts. And so I think when there is a level of resistance to going a certain way, I do think that that's probably where we should discover and search on that path and see where that takes us. But I do think when it feels right, even if maybe the results aren't immediate, but it feels right in your spirit, I think that's when you're firm in your actions and your plans.
I love that. It makes me think of one of my best friends, Justin Michael Williams. He defines intuition as knowing something strongly, but not knowing why. And I feel like that makes sense. And you trusting that intuition, that feeling, that part of you.
Yeah, that's
that intelligence.
Good. That's really good. Yeah, I think. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, babe.
Intuition has been like a big, like has been a flashing in my brain recently, especially over the past like 2 weeks. And about having that like spiritual discernment. And once again, like sitting with yourself and knowing exactly what it is that's being said to you. And so I think, I don't know, in this new year, especially in like 2025 specifically, I think a lot of us are building our own inner awareness and really connecting with that voice, because we don't want to live the same life that we've wanted to live. No, we don't want to live the same life that we have been living. And we want to embrace change. And I think part of that is listening to your intuition for sure.
So in our journey, in our pursuit to live this new life, to like trailblaze into a new version of ourselves with the world, it requires us letting go of past versions of ourselves. And I know in all my work with women and my own personal work, sometimes we're scared of letting go of those old versions of ourselves simply because they're familiar, simply because I know her. I know how to navigate her. I know what she likes, what she doesn't like. And even the unknown, even if it is objectively better,
yep,
can feel scary because it's unknown.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you balance honoring the past versions of yourself that are still valuable, still worthy, that have done things for you, learned lessons with you, but be open to new versions of Simone opening up?
Yeah, I think it's about being really mindful of the lessons you learned as your past self and applying those in the future. I think that's a really good way to make peace with, you know, the old version of ourselves and
mm-hmm.
ensure that she is still the things that were present in that were poignant and meaningful for us. We're taking that into the future because, like you said, our old self, our past selves served us for a grand part of our lives. And so it's not to say, all right, we're done with her, moving on. She sucks. You know what I mean? It's about being like, yeah, she may have been going through it, but she was resilient. Like she fought really hard for what she wanted. She was stubborn, but that stubbornness was built from, you know, the trauma that she dealt with. And that stubbornness also helped to guide her on where she is today, you know? So there are those little things that we really want to keep in mind. Like shadow work, for example, has a lot to do with our past selves, right? Like shadow work has been big thing, I think, in our collective and everybody who's on this like elevation journey, you know? Making peace with the struggles that she went through and knowing that our lives are only going to get better from here. And the struggles may not stop, but the lessons that we learn are going to help us get through the obstacles.
I love that. I remember I was in college. I don't even know why I have this memory, but I was going through like, oh my God, crying over somebody who definitely didn't deserve my tears. And my friend was like, it's okay. And I'm like, she's like, listen, good things are going to happen and bad things are going to happen. In 5 years, something really good is going to happen and something really, I was like, wait, really
hold on,
bad?
Wait, why would you say that?
Like, and now I understand that it's like, yeah, life is going to life. It's going to do her thing, but you become better. You become more adept. You become more flexible. And yeah. Go ahead, babe.
Yeah, I think too, like there's a level of perfectionism that we operate in and feeling like if anything bad happens in our lives, then we're not doing life right. And then we like hold that over our own heads like, oh my God, I can't believe this bad thing happened. Maybe I wasn't on the right path. And it's like, baby, none of us are absolved of any type of struggle or stress or worry. Like that's the part of the human experience. We're all going to experience it. But I think the biggest lesson in that is to stay focused. Like to, okay, all right, this bad thing happened, but what is the goal? Like what is, okay, this happened on the side. Okay, let's stay focused on exactly what like our divine purpose is, what our life purpose is, what our soul callings are.
Yeah. And I did want to say this. I forgot you were talking about shadow work and having different selves within you. And I touched on that in my book. And I argue that because I'm from the theater, like I have a theater background, but I argued that, hey.
Yes, I'm a theater kid, too. So I get it.
Yes, theater kids link up.
Yes.
We up right now. Theater kids are up. Okay. 2025 is all the yay.
We keep
coming out again. Come on now. Talk to me.
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry. I genuinely did not think you were going to say that. But I argue that like all the past versions of yourself, I think we're resourceful and economical by nature, by design. Mm-hmm. I don't think that anything we go through or any version of ourselves that we had to be is just for waste. Mm-hmm. So all of those versions of us, this is my argument, is that all of them live within you. And it's your job to rein them in, call them in, and direct them like an ensemble. There's nothing wrong with the part of you that's really stubborn. There's nothing wrong with you with the part of you that can be angry and experience rage. It's simply when she comes on stage and it's not her time. When she's you know, it's not her entrance, it's not her cue, then it's wrong.
Beautiful.
But it's just about us being able to rein in the ensemble and call on who you need at the present moment. But being able to do the calling, the directing is a skill. That's what we're talking about. Takes work.
Yes, absolutely. I do think it takes, once again, knowing yourself, knowing those parts of you, being able to identify them clearly and, you know, knowing what roles are needed. I think that's such a beautiful way to express that.
Yeah. Did you ever watch Dave Chappelle, his show?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yay, period. Do you remember, he had this one sketch where it was like, when keeping it real goes wrong?
Yes.
Do you remember that? And it was like a lady like, because me, I keep it real. And then, so for those who didn't watch it, like, it's basically this clip or this little sketch about this woman, and she's a Black woman, and she don't let nobody play with her. So she's always going to, if you disrespect her, she's going to come for you, and it leads her to the sketch, she ends in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And she's still in jail, like, I don't care, I can't be real. And when I think about that, I think about, like, how many Black women do you know that have that trigger that, like, you could do something to me and I'll fight you. Like, I'll end up, or I'll do something that could compromise myself just because I won't let anybody disrespect me. And I think about it, like, that part of you is great, is divine, is wonderful. But babe, mm-hmm. you can't let her mess up your whole thing you got going on. It's better to be able to know how to rein her in and not be, you know, I feel like this psychologically relates to triggers, like being easily triggered, like, bam.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when, like, there's been so much discourse about our nervous systems and how yep. a lot of us have completely dysregulated nervous systems. And so that's why a lot of us have hairline triggers or hair triggers. I forget what they're called. But it's because we're constantly on go. I think when you have this level of defensiveness, because you're always feeling like you have to be on attack mode because someone's going to attack you first. And that's been one of the biggest things for me, because trust me, that woman who's like, you can't tell me nothing. How many of us have been that?
Yes, because we don't feel safe. We don't feel safe, and there's nobody to protect us. So we have to become that protector. And so the impulse, I think, is intelligent, is intuitive. It's yeah. just the timing and the ability of what you do with that impulse.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that you said that.
I don't know. I hope that came off right, guys. Don't smoke me online, okay?
Nah, you ate that.
One last question about change.
Yeah.
We are currently, it's January 16, 2025. In 4 days, we are going to have the inauguration. We're going to have a new president. So we've been talking about our individual experience with change, but there's about to be a very big change in our country coming up. Mm-hmm. Also, on the same day of Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday,
crazy.
Universe, weird.
Right, weird.
Okay.
Coincidence? I think not.
Uh-huh. So I've heard a lot of discourse about people that are like, I am not even going to say 2025 is going to be my year. I don't even, because I don't know what's it going to be. There's like this looming sense of anxiety, this collective fear and dread of, like, we don't know what's coming. But a lot of us are like, it's probably not going to be positive. So, or I guess positive is subjective, but positive for us.
Yeah.
So how do you maintain confidence and self-love when everything around you feels uncertain?
You really got to have a very strong inner dialogue. And it has to be like, on point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you are someone who prioritizes personal elevation and spiritual growth, I really think it's about keeping your eyes on the prize once again. I think it's about having tunnel vision on what you are attempting to create in your life, and then aligning with those who have those same goals, and then you creating community based on those goals. You know, it can be very difficult when the outside world is reflecting the exact opposite of what you are attempting to achieve. And that's going to be the case for many of us. You know, thinking about history, right? There are people in civil rights times who were attempting personal growth, but they were literally like fighting for their lives every day with Jim Crow, you know? And so it's like, we are not any different, but I do think we have a better there's more conversation about how to elevate around the community. And between you and I and posting on our social medias and just in the world, that we are finding ways to be better equipped. And so one of those ways to do that is to really stay focused on that and help the community when we can, and, you know, pull others up when we can. You know, it's about having these little pockets of safety that we have to create for ourselves, because unfortunately, we know that in our country, it's not really safe for people like us. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
We have to find that safety in our community and within ourselves and with the universe and God.
Yes. Trust, right?
Trust
that, like, I'm not here just to be punished and have a terrible life. Like,
yes,
I'm here for greater things. And that trust that, man, I don't know how it looks now, but I'm still going to move forward on my path.
Yeah, yeah. And we, and honestly, we ain't got no choice but to move forward.
It's, we, like, have no choice, because where are we going?
Where are we going? And it's like, if you want to stay stuck and stagnant and in fear and the anxiety, then sure, by all means, go for it. There may be something there for you. But if you have that wisdom to be able to recognize when it's time for you to elevate and move past it and not get distracted, then use that wisdom, because it'll help you.
And I think you said it, you touched on it earlier, where you were like, the intuition is feeling the feelings, like, feel those feelings. Like, yeah, be scared, be angry, be mad about the election, be nervous about 2025, and then move through it.
And move through it.
We can't just stay there. We have to move to there. There has to be another step in the process after feeling the feelings. What are you going to do with them?
Right. And then we talk about, like, our, you mentioned, like, past selves, right? The past version of you is going to stay stuck in that. It's going to manifest from that place of anxiety and fear. But what does that manifest? The universe sees your feelings and they're like, oh, you want more of that? Bet. So we're going to give you more of that. So it's like, okay, acknowledge those worries, acknowledge those anxieties, and then remember who you are and what you were put on this earth to do. And then that's going to be magnified. And you never know how that's going to shift the trajectory of the world. You just never know.
And this is really giving quantum mechanics, quantum physics tease, string theory tease. Also, if you guys are listening and you know any experts on quantum theory that happen to be Black women, we would love to have her on and talk more about that, because I see it come up so often. And are you into quantum stuff? I know I am.
Yes, I am. I'm not an expert, because I know, like, when we talked about speaking, that was, like, one of the things that I mentioned.
That's right. I'm sorry, I forgot that.
No, it's okay. It's perfectly
fine. Sorry.
I'm here. I love this conversation, so I'm grateful regardless. I wouldn't say I'm an expert to the point where I can, like, lead a conversation on it. So I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that. But there are some people that I know, so I can maybe find.
Do you want to share for the girls maybe one experience you've had with quantum? I don't know what you call, what version you study, but, like, what is it called? What is it? And how did you use it? What happened?
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I know that tapping is one of them, right?
I recommend tapping so highly.
Tapping is powerful. It completely shifts your energy. It regulates your nervous system, and it imprints that new language into your body. And I always say, and into your, like, mind and your voice. Like, it's using, I'm a chakra girly too. So it's activating the chakras as well. So you're using your throat chakra, speaking truth. You're using your, your touch is kind of like your root chakra and your heart chakra. So that's kind of where that's coming from. And then you're thinking it at the same time, which is, of course, your third eye. And so that does help you to shift into that new reality. And when you're affirming it with those energy centers, it helps to shift you to that timeline. So I definitely have noticed a shift when it comes to, like, tapping and also grounding meditations, things like that. I always say, like, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I mean, that's in the Bible. But it's I think it's very, like, relevant within the world. I'm not a full follower of the Bible, but I do love it in its, you know, in its senses. But really creating your own reality with your thoughts, your words, and your actions, and aligning them all.
I love that. It's awesome. Yeah. So let's talk for a second about fatness and fetishism. Okay, you in 2018, you wrote an article. Was this the same year that Drake said, "I like my girls BBW"?
Sure was. I think it was. I think it was.
Because I was like 2018, I'm like, it had to be around that time where I feel like that one line spurred like a very strange response publicly where, okay, I don't want to jump ahead, but yeah, I got to say now. But yeah. Where I feel, this is what I heard. And Simone, you correct me if anything I say does not align with what you heard.
Mm-hmm.
I heard things like, "Ooh, I love the hug up on that. You know, I love her roles and this and that and all of this." Like, but it was purely from a sexual perspective.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like. I feel like DaBaby was saying stuff about Lizzo at that time, and a lot of people, you know, were commenting on how much they love black big women. However, I'm gonna read a quote from your article because I think it ties in. In your article, her article is called "I Am Not Your BBW: Debunking Fat Stereotypes, Misconceptions, and Fetishization." Mm-hmm. Woo, that word is so hard.
Yeah, that word
for me
is that's a big word. That's a big word for Elmo.
Fetishization.
There we go.
Oh, I didn't say it right. Okay,
fetishization.
I'm gonna let you say it. Yes, thank you. Because I practiced like 5 times and I kept getting it wrong.
<It's okay. laughs>
But you wrote, "Our fatness does not make us undeserving of respect, dignity, or humanity." And I want to say this because a lot of times, and you spoke on this too, so I can't wait to hear what you're going to say. Because a lot of people were like, "That's my preference. That's my preference. Oh, I can't have a preference." Let me tell you something. A preference is, I like vanilla over chocolate. That's a preference. When you are saying that you only engage with fat women in the bedroom, that is a fetish. If your attraction to a big body is purely sexual and you have no interest in her humanity, otherwise, baby, that is a fetish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Get help. Anyway,
yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's a fact. Thank you for saying it. This thing, because I talk about it all the time. So when I see people who aren't like fat people in that aspect, I'm like, I appreciate that perspective is shared, because I say it all the time and people like try to crucify me for it. Cause they're like, "What you
I
can't
see that."
It's like, what, I can't like
you. To hell. I mean, what is you talking about?
I have been gaslit so many times with this topic to the point where I'm like, all right, y'all, listen, the people who, and the crazy thing is when I talk about this, like on my social media channels, the women are like, "Yes, yes, yes." It's always the men who are like, "Well, what you mean? We can't like you?" And it's like, so do y'all not, is it cognitive dissonance or is it just willful ignorance? Like, which one is it?
Wow. It seems, when I hear a like popular conversation, I wouldn't say like anecdotally, maybe it's different, but popular conversation from what I have heard, I am not a big bodied woman. I am curvy, but I don't think I would lead this conversation. It's not appropriate. But I will say what I have heard is it sounds like a lot of men only care about fat bodied women in a utility sense, like
absolutely,
what they can do for them. "Oh, I love big girls could cook. Yeah, big girl gonna get me right. Big girl gonna know where to eat. Da da da. A big girl gonna keep me warm. A big girl, she'll do whatever." Like insinuating like big girls have lower standards or something, and they're easier to be with because they don't expect much. Like, babe, she's still a full human being.
Listen, not only am I a full human being, but I am quite literally me. Like, do you see me? Do you feel this energy? There are so much magnetism and magic and allure to me. Why would I ever limit myself to your practical use? And that becomes the issue, which is why I tell these men, like, listen, you're going to be shocked when you realize I'm a princess sitting on the couch and then you bringing me the food. You feel me? You're going to be really upset when you see that. And not from a sense that, like, because the thing is, I'm very naturally nurturing. Like, I'm a lover, I'm a giver. And that's just who I am, just because that's just the heart that I've always had. But when it becomes an expectation based on how I look is when I automatically try to flip it. Like, I'm like, I can't even be that. And that's the frustrating part, too. It's like, I don't even feel comfortable being that nurturing version of myself because I don't want them to think it was expected of me. This is a gift I'm giving to you, you know, and it's something that comes with time and effort and energy given to me so that I feel the desire to reciprocate it. And I know there are a lot of plus size women who feel that way. You know, we can't always be fully present in the ways that relationships are like meant to be and how they can be because there's a level of expectation from us.
And sorry, I should have said this in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I am using the term fat, but from what I know from other influencers and when books I've read, like The Body Is Not an Apology by Sonya Renee Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Thank you. And is that fat? We're using it it's a reclaimed word in the same way women call each other bitch, like it's reclaimed. So there is a negative, if I'm correct, am I correct?
No, you're correct. You're absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm. That there's a negative connotation, but a lot of women have said, I am calling myself fat to reclaim it and has a sense of power. Mm-hmm. So I'm using fatness in that way. I'm not using it in a derogatory way.
Of course.
But Simone, do you have a preference? Like, what do you feel like in popular, like the way when people talk, do you align more with like plus size, curvy? I see there's a lot of like words mean things and they're important. So I'm just curious.
Yeah. Fat is the word. That's my go-to. I have no problem using the word fat. I don't mind being called fat. Now, if it is in a derogatory sense, because like you said, words mean things and intention can, you know, fuel different things. So if it's used in a rude way, then that is, of course, going to upset me because that's an attempt to insult me. But when it comes to being described, like I'm a fat woman, I also say plus size. Curvy, not so much. I mean, I am curvy, but also there are a lot of fat women who aren't curvy, you know? So I think it is a huge level of reclaiming that the community has done, and I'm proud of that because that word has been used to tear us down in so many ways. And so to use it from a place of empowerment is healing for a lot of us.
When is the first time you felt that the world treated you differently because of your body?
Probably about 3. I've been plus size my entire life. I've always been bigger than kids. Yeah.
3 years old.
Yeah. I used to take ballet classes and I love ballet. I still love to dance. And I remember recognizing that I didn't look like the other girls in my class. And that caused me to stop dancing. And it had a major effect on me. And I started to internalize a lot of the things I heard about me. And it's so funny you mentioned that, like, when's the first time? I was looking back on old pictures of me when I was young. I just thought it was, like, weird and big and awkward and, like, and it's like, girl, you were the cutest little honey bunch. And like, you know, it's like, and I think a lot of, once again, the shadow work, bringing back shadow work, has been able to heal that version of me, that young plus size, little chunky monkey, you know, 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old self who felt off. A lot of that was how other people thought about me. And then it became my inner voice.
That really breaks my heart to hear that at 3 years old, you started to recognize that. That is so young.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. But I mean, I'm grateful for therapy and, you know, being affirmed in my family never made me feel, you know, any type of way. And that's a big reason why I do this work is to, you know, be a light to people who are still feeling this way and are still continuing to internalize what's been said about them and it has become their truth. And my desire is to help them recognize that there is a different truth and there is our truth, there's your truth. And you can discover that by repairing your relationship with your body and knowing that you are plus size, you're big, you're fat, and it's carried you through so much in your life. It deserves the same level of adoration as bodies that are more conventionally attractive and accepted.
If you could say anything to 3-year-old Simone in that ballet class,
My Shayla,
what would you tell her?
Oh.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I would just affirm her, like, you are so beautiful and talented, and you move with such grace, and you deserve to be at the front of the class, proud and excited to be there. Like, your energy and your light and your magic is important, and you have the power to change the world. So keep going. I would just tell her to keep going. I really would. Like, you got this.
I hear that so often when I ask women to speak to their younger selves, that they always tell them to keep going. Yeah. And I wonder, and it makes me think of like that knowledge is so hard to access in the moment.
Yeah.
Because like, I wonder if present day Simone also needs to hear, keep going.
Ooh.
Keep going. You're so graceful. You move so wonderfully. All the things, right?
Wow.
I don't know. You did it, Simone. You brought it up.
Wow. No, you've really got me together on that, because like you, especially with what I'm going through in my life, I think for me, similarly, like the question was, one of the first questions was like, what major transitions are you going through? Like, have you gone through recently? And I think I've been shifting in terms of what I've been talking about on my social media platforms. You know, I talk about fashion and beauty. Like, those things are important to me because, I mean, I like to look cute and I be dressing.
And do.
Thank you very much. But also knowing that a lot of these are spiritual, internal, intentional practices, like dressing up, looking beautiful, adorning yourself. Like literally, we talk about like glamour magic. Like that's been a major thing that's been, you know, talked about on the interwebs. Like that's glamour magic. You affirming yourself in your beauty. And I think that's like largely what contributes to the light that I have, that I'm so grateful to God and the universe and my spirit team for. It's because I like continue to affirm that with my like rituals and the things that I do.
Yeah, you better have some rituals. I know that's right.
Yes.
So I want to ask you one final question before we move on to the toolkit part.
Yes.
And I feel like this is just such a beautiful question to end on. I was stalking your socials and I saw that someone asked you, what's the stupidest thing you did for love? And your answer was, honestly, nothing. I would never let love make me do stupid things. And I thought, wow, that's such a boss bitch answer.
So crazy. Oh my God, Simone, girl, damn.
I'm like, girl, teach me how. I be doing stupid shit all the time. And
listen, and that's the thing is like, I don't want to sit here and pretend like I'm perfect and I've like never made mistakes.
All.
Of course, you know, but I think it's like, for me, I've never viewed love as a thing that would make me do things out of my character or like something that I regret doing. Rather, true love aligns me more and more with who I am.
Oof. Ooh. Ooh, you ate with that.
Yeah. Listen, and especially now, because for me, like, I'm single, right? But I've also been open to love recently and like figuring out what that looks like for me and opening my heart to the possibilities of that. And as I've been aligning more and more with my truth, a big thing has been like, okay, what are your boundaries? And I think a lot of us, especially as women, we're taught that love means you remove your boundaries because you love someone with your entire heart. So that means you'll do anything for them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's what true love looks like. Now, doing anything for them doesn't mean not being being present. Like, of course, that's love. When you show up for your partner, you go through the trials and tribulations with each other. However, if you're going outside of your character, if you're going outside of how you've operated when you're by yourself and you're completely shifting things, I wouldn't say that's love. I think that's self-sacrificing.
Good night. Good night. I'm leaving. I'm clocking out. Guys, I'm not doing this podcast anymore. I'm out of here. Wow. You got me together, honey. That is such a beautiful way to say that. This sounds like, am I right? This just sounds like that emotion, that thought sounds like it comes from someone who values herself more than being in partnership with somebody.
That's a fact. I had just posted a video about decentering men, decentering dating, whoever it is that you date, because a lot of us get validation from other people and our partnership. We are defined by how loved we are. And so it's like, okay, but how much do you love yourself?
Woo! Listen, I am working on the very tricky, tightropey type of journey where I am married to someone that I love deeply, who's a man, and decentering men at the same time.
Yeah, a lot of women have been doing that in relationships with men, being fully married, having full families and everything. But it's because we as women, we're taught to be self-sacrificing. And you know, and I'd seen this very briefly. I'd seen a TikTok or it was some video about how a lot of self-help books that are written by men often focus.
Yeah.
Yeah, you saw
and
that.
She's
yeah.
like, I don't take any advice from men. Because you could never, where are the kids?
Right, exactly.
Who was cooking your meals? Who was washing your clothes?
Who was
cleaning your house?
Clothes? And the thing is, and on top of that too, it's like, because the man, like the masculinity itself is very self-centered, right? It's very self-serving. You do things for yourself, your immediate people, and that's it. So they're taught to start giving to the world. Right. They're taught to start like giving their time to other people. Women, we do that naturally. Feminine
Hello?
People, we do that naturally.
Hello?
So the inverse of that, the way to help ourselves is to start giving into ourselves. So I think that's the pivot. Like that's been my and the thing is, for a long time, even in my like, I'm not doing nothing for love, like I'm not doing crazy shit for love. I still was like giving too much of myself, but I've been pouring into myself now. So now I'm interested to see what dating and love and relationships will look like from this place of knowing myself and centering myself.
Right. And yes, to reiterate, I don't take advice from men because I can't operate like a man.
Sorry.
Because if I'm a mother and I leave my children with somebody else all day, every day, and basically have someone else raise my children, I will be a bad mother, wouldn't I?
Right.
If I was just self-centered and just was like so focused on my goals that nothing else mattered, I didn't cook my own meals, I didn't clean my own house, I'll be lazy then, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I look for advice strictly from women who are living a life that I can actually emulate.
Ashe, amen. Love
Period.
It.
And on that note, I love this. This conversation was so fun.
No.
I love that I get to do this.
I know. You're amazing at it. I love the community you've built. I've admired it since I first encountered you. So I'm grateful
to be
here.
They're the best. I absolutely adore them. And so this is the toolkit. So we like to give our unruly listeners something to walk away from that's practical. Like, all right, I love this conversation with Simone. What's one thing I can latch onto, a practice, an affirmation, a skill, a tool? One thing you want to leave our listeners with that they can add to their unruly toolkit?
Ooh. I would say an affirmation that I really love is one that says, I'm free from the limitations from others. It's similar to what I'd said about us internalizing what has been said to us, what's been said about us, and it becomes our truth. And so when you break free from those limitations that have been put on you, you're really able to soar. It's like similar to what we just talked about. Ah, right? She literally said, I'm through accepting limits because someone says they're so.
They're so. Oh! And if I try, I'll never know. Get it. Come on, Cynthia.
Cynthia.
Stop playing.
Cynthia
she ate that up.
Ate that real bad.
She
no crumbs
ate
left.
That up.
No crumbs.
I was in the theater like, baby.
Oh my gosh. See, I wasn't able to see it in theaters, but I did buy it and I watched it by myself and with my mom. Oh, the tears. I'm actually grateful that I wasn't in theater because I would have been screaming the entire time, crying. I would have been like, ma'am, can you please shut up? I'm trying to listen to Cynthia. You're just crying too loud.
I'm so irritating. I'm the last person you want to watch a movie with because this is me the whole time. Those are real tulips.
Yes.
They actually planted a whole field.
Yes.
So on Idina Menzel, she was the original. So like everyone gets their own riff. And this is, and my family's like, can you shut up so I could like.
I actually need you to be quiet for a second because this is like quite literally the first time. And I don't, we can talk about this afterwards maybe.
Period.
If you do a post movie talk, then by all means, host it.
I'm irritating. Right? And I love that about, and I fully love and accept that about myself.
Yes.
How about that?
I'm not, listen, I fully love and accept that about myself. Isn't that the one you do?
Yes, that's it. Okay, so you're a tapping.
I'm a tapper.
We tap.
Yeah, we tap.
Because we just, yeah. Mm-hmm. Guys, I recommend EFT tapping. I could not recommend it to you enough. I'm going to say this and then we are going to get out of here. But this is the main reason I recommend tapping. Traditional talk therapy is expensive and inaccessible to a lot of people. And you could be in therapy for 5 years and still have a lot of unresolved issues. Mm-hmm. Tapping, you could do 4 sessions of EFT. Well, tapping you can do by yourself. EFT, you need a guide. But if you did EFT guided by a specialist who does emotional freedom technique, you could have 4 sessions and see a very markable, like you could see a change that you could track. So if for those that are just, it's inaccessible, it's too expensive, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Okay?
I know that's right.
What an amazing conversation this was, Simone Mariposa. Mi niña, te quiero mucho.
Y tú también.
Oh, mucho gusto. Oh, muchas gracias, mami. Her journey reminds us that embracing change is not just about surviving, okay? It's about thriving, evolving, and learning to show up for ourselves with love and compassion. And before we wrap up, can you let our listeners know where they can find you if they want to look you up, hang out with you online?
Oh my gosh, sure. So you can find me on Instagram, Simone Mariposa, YouTube, Simone Mariposa, everywhere really, Simone Mariposa. There are some, I think TikTok and Facebook are the Simone Mariposa. And also my website is thesimonemariposa.com. Also available for doula services in Atlanta. So if you are expecting and you would love someone there who's going to affirm you on your birth journey, I am available.
Oh my gosh. Yes. We didn't even get to touch on that. Oh, yes. There's so much to talk about, but she's also a birth doula. We might need to have you back to talk to you about your birth doula work.
Absolutely.
And to our lovely listeners, our unruly babes, thank you for tuning in. Remember, change is not something to fear. It's an invitation to grow. And speaking of growth, we are growing steadily on this podcast, but we cannot do it without your help. This is the only thing I'm asking of you. Please share this podcast. Text it to somebody right now. Text this episode to somebody that you think would enjoy it. Put it on your socials. Tag me on Instagram. Like, subscribe. Put a review. All of it helps us so that we can keep providing more unruly content for you, okay? I love you all. And until next time, stay unruly. Thank you so much, Simone. If you have something on your mind, a question, or something you want me to answer, just send in a voice note at speakpipe.com/unruly. I can't wait to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to follow or subscribe so you never, ever, ever, ever miss an episode of Unruly.